Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, oh my goodness. I don't even know if Kevin even listens anymore. Hard to tell, but just in case, it's Weasel Wednesday, people. It's the 26th day of April, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively, and I have an email from JD that he sent, and it's directed to the audience, so I'll go ahead and read that to you guys. Hi, Henry. I will definitely not make it back in time today. Won't be back until tonight. I will be working for the next couple of days also, so please extend my apologies to the listeners. This weekend I have a swap meet to attend also, but that should be it, and I will be back on Monday. My apologies. Thanks again, JD. So we'll wish JD success in his endeavors, and we'll see him on Monday. And until then, I guess you guys are stuck with me again. What a terrible thought. Nothing but the rambling, single ramblings of a single mind. Alrighty then, let's see what we got going here. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in star 6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with me today. It is currently 46 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 48 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's, you know, it's a cloudy overcast right now, but it's in like 40 some degrees, I think 46, 47. It might even up to 47 by the time I came up here. But I mean, it feels like spring. Oh, thank God. Anyways, let's see what we're going to look at. We got a stack of articles, and we can just ramble right through this. And you know how it is. If you want to get in and talk, you're probably going to have to, hey, like that. You know how it works. That being said, let's see what we got. Army Corps of Engineers argues release of DAPL oil spill assessment reports would endanger lives. And I'm sure it would. I mean, if you found out what these people are up to, well, we already know what they're up to. And well, yeah, I guess it is dangerous to lives. That being said, we will get into this as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTV.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, Army Corps of Engineers argues releasing DAPL, that's the Dakota Access Pipeline oil spill assessment reports, would endanger lives. This is from Muck Rock, sent in by Joe from Mass Private Eye for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Army Corps of Engineers have rejected a FOIA request for the assessment report on the potential impact of an oil spill of the Dakota Access Pipeline, arguing that the release of such information would I'm going to read this, why you'll see why I stumbled over it. Arguing that the release of such information would people's lives at risk. No, would put people's lives at risk. I mean, this is one goddamn paragraph, and you can't get it right. Anyway, here's the answer to the FOIA request. Dear Mr. Morrissey is what it looks like. This is a response to your Freedom of Information Act request dated March 7th, 2017, in which you sought the assessment report on the potential impact of an oil spill of the Dakota Access Pipeline for the crossing of Lake Owyhee. In North Dakota, that's where they had the protests where they're running it underneath the Missouri River where it's backed up there in the lake. And I'm sure that you really wouldn't want to know what would happen if that son of a bitch erupted. I mean, Charles came up and he had some knowledge of, how they run these pipelines under, water sources and what might have you. And, a line inside a line, a lot of precautions. But, I mean, still the impact, anything's possible. They had an earthquake, man. It was back, I can't remember exactly what year, but it was all down the East Coast. And, I mean, it changed the direction of the Mississippi River. So to think that there nothing could happen is, silly, but it would be interesting. I would like to see what the plan is. If it should happen, maybe there's nothing there. Maybe that's why they want to show, well, I guess you guys are just effed. I am withholding the requested document in its entirety pursuant to 5 U.S.C. Section 552, subsection B, subsection 7, subsection F of the FOIA request, which protects records compiled for law enforcement purposes and that if released could be expected to endanger the life or physical safety of an individual. Now, I mean, this is the shit they put in there. This is all their private policies being enforced as our public law. They have taken over people. Make no mistake about it. These sons of bitches, man. I mean, all the articles we got piled today, I mean, it's just one slam after another. Reference document contains information related to sensitive infrastructure that, if mishandled, could endanger people's lives and property. Previously, the ACOE had obstructed access to the DAPL documents by designating Mudrock a nonprofit, a commercial entity, in order to charge higher processing fees. The ACOE, I mean, every record made, this is supposed to be our goddamn business. This is the extent of the takeover. This is how much they have penetrated into the body politic with their goddamn corporations, which, it's treason. It is usurping you can't even say the constitutional, there hasn't been a constitution in a long time. Hey, this is just another affirmation that if you want this goddamn country back, you better gun up and get ready to take it back. Oh, let's see. Federal judge blocks Trump's sanctuary city order. Boy, there's a surprise. I would never expected that to happen. This is from the Hill. I mean, when they're running roughshod over our people, the American nationals, goddamn, there's nothing, they can't be stopped. There is no judge that could, I mean, it's impossible. They have the force of the law behind them. But again, what we're looking at here is the common law being used to constitutional law, but I mean, this is being used to by these judges to, block the only true, duties that this government has. I mean, securing our borders. Somebody comes into the goddamn country illegally. That is the business of the federal government. That is the business of the Border Patrol. That is the business of the military. It has nothing to do with our civilian lives here, with our lives as American nationals living free and self-governing under the common law and the common law Bill of Rights. These son of a bitch, this is invasion. And you know, when they talk to him and they say, we got to bring him to a court in Washington, or we got to bring him to a court in California, bullshit. When they're caught, they're to be turned over to the goddamn federal authorities, who are responsible for making sure people don't come into this goddamn country and take what's ours or kill us. That is truly one of the those little powers we gave him. That when we talk about general welfare, the general welfare cause. This is what we're talking about. This is where that should be applied to, just going in. I mean, these son of a bitches should be arrested. This judge should be dragged off the goddamn bench in handcuffs, taken down and thrown into a cell full of 200-pound faggots. For his just desserts, a San Francisco judge, this is from The Hill anyway, a San Francisco judge has blocked enforcement of President Trump's executive order barring federal funds from so-called sanctuary cities. So, well, you know, you come into a place and you say you're going to cut, I mean, goddammit, there shouldn't be this federal aid. None of this shit should exist, people. But the fact that these goddamn, I mean, you think about what would happen to you if you harbored a goddamn fugitive from justice. If you aided somebody into come, you would be aiding people coming into this country. There's a felony. And you, of course, we know they're going through the phone books and taking social security numbers and man, but you know what? That's something you got to understand, because they can't work, because it's illegal for them to work without a social security number. So what do you expect those poor people looking for a better life to do? San Francisco and Santa Clara County won preliminary injunctions to block Trump's January order to withhold federal funds from cities that refuse to comply with federal authorities. How about you just don't goddamn send them? Just don't send them. What's that? Goddamn. I'm sure the goddamn traitor over there that's allowing this treason to occur is going to say that you can't stop me from committing treason. You're not going to see them put their foot down, because the whole goddamn thing is an act. They have no intent of removing their recolonization force. And this is just playing the game back and forth. Roll, you know, they call it kicking the can down the road. No, this is called stonewalling, and this is pre-planned. I mean, if he was really the go-getter that he claimed he was, I mean, he's already backed off on DACA. And we'll talk about the wall in September. Okay, guys, we got tax cuts for the top 1%. We got to get pushed through. We're going to exercise the nuclear option. We're going to take care of the people who put us here. You know, the billionaires and trillionaires. According to the judge's orders, the Justice Department can still withhold grants from places that don't see. I mean, reading into this, what grants? You get in that goddamn Constitution, people, and show me where the grant system is, where the grant authority is. What you have is Congress turning over their constitutional authority to allocate funds over to the goddamn Senate. I mean, that is a direct, well, what am I talking about here? What constitution? But withhold grants. You know why it went to the grant system? So that they could work it in. They could take all the allocations that were coming from Congress, the people's money that they take from you at gunpoint, and grant it out. And if it goes into grants to corporations, well, then the jurisdiction of the money falls under the Uniform Commercial Code rather than the Bill of Rights and the common law. And they can violate, they can use that money to directly violate your rights. By God, they've done it. Been taken to court, and of course, the Admiralty Court said, of course they can. We're operating in the Admiralty here, you goddamn fools. You are peasants, plebes, coolies, peons. You are beneath us. We rule you. Get it? Grants. Withhold grants from places that don't comply with the law, but it cannot enforce the order. Okay? In a way, that violates the Constitution. Oh, my God. I don't know how in the hell I keep doing this, people. In a way, that violates the Constitution, according to the Washington Post reporter. Well, hell, he'd know, wouldn't he? Oh, my God. The injunction says it does nothing more than implement the effect of the government's flawed interpretation of the order. It does not affect the ability of the Attorney General or Secretary to enforce existing conditions of federal grants. You tell me what that goddamn means, please. This is called legalese bullshit. nor does it impact the Secretary's ability to develop regulations or other guidelines defining what a sanctuary jurisdiction is. What is the definition of his? Or designating a jurisdiction as such? This head-on collision between the national socialists and the international communists, boy, we've heard a lot about jurisdiction, haven't we? Boy, and courts we never knew still existed popping up all over the place. I mean, boy, if we could have such an effect as the people who own this goddamn place. U.S. District Judge William Orrick issued the temporary ruling, but what does it say? Temporarily ruling on Tuesday. This is from the Hill. I mean, these are the professionals. Temporarily ruling on Tuesday following an April 14th hearing on the case. The Obama appointed judge, no. I won't believe it. You mean this is a communist judge that's doing this? The progressives that openly tell you, yes, we're communists. The progressive thing is so we can sit here and say, yeah, we're progressive and telling you you're communist right in your goddamn face. Insurrection right in your face. I mean, advocating for insurrection, advocating for overthrow. Right in your face. But hey, there's a communist and Trump ain't going to put none of them in jail no more than he's going to put Hillary Clinton in jail. U.S. District Court, temporary following. The Obama-appointed judge ruled that the order violated the Constitution. Every time I get to that part, I gotta laugh, man. Violated the Constitution by attempting to punish local governments by seeking to deprive local jurisdictions of congressional allotted funds. Now see where they're playing the game here? Those weren't congressionally allotted funds. Those were grants that came out of the Senate illegally in violation of the original contract. Like we said, it's so goddamn breached. How can anybody even bring the son of a bitch up? You see what they do? You see how they step over here into what it should be? If it was a congressional allocation, well, actually, yeah. If it had been allocated, Trump would have no authority to step in and grab it, but it isn't. It's straight up grants. You see, the Senate is made up of the corporate. It's always, they put the Congress here. That's supposed to be for us. We're all equal. We're all the same people. We all have equal rights. God damn it, we know it's the truth. But when the government was formed, of course, we got the Congress. That was the voice of the people. And then the Senate. I mean, but still, we're all equal. There's nobody that has any more right or privilege or any more power in this country. But then the elite, they got the Senate. You see, and they got a whole third of the government for just the elite who are just like us. And we really are the same people and we get the same representation. Don't you know? So you have a congressional allocation. That's what I've been talking about. It comes with before Billy Clinton came in, that goddamn traitor, and before they usurped the Constitution and started the grant program, we're issuing grants. You see, we issue this grant. We just say the grant is for, what are we saying here? Law enforcement. That means just to open subject matter. Those goddamn rules of federal regulations laid out exactly how you could spend that money, and I've never read a code of federal regulations that didn't stipulate that you cannot violate any American's rights using this money. That's why they had to go to the grant system to remove their accountability. Goddamn everything that held any kind of authority that said you will or will not do this has been, you think about that. It's just like turning the goddamn treasury over to a foreign corporation known as the Federal Reserve. How many times, I keep hearing people come up, to defend the Constitution. No, it's the Constitution. No, it ain't. The Constitution is a piece of shit rag. It means nothing. It was written by thieves to steal from you. And it got to the point they had to write it in such a way as to be like, yeah, we're going to be serving the people. So when they started stealing, it'd be that we were actually in a position of authority. And in the beginning, it will be corruption. In the end, we'll just change the goddamn. If you're going to change the allocation powers in the goddamn Constitution, we did it with an act. That means the Congress sat down. But there's only one way. We've talked about it here in the last few days to change that Constitution if the son of a bitch was an effective contract. And that is through the fifth article in the Constitution is for the, you have to, You have to propose the change to the Constitution, and it has to be ratified by the states. It's a constitutional convention. That's the only ways it can be changed. But look at how many ways the Constitution has been changed with just them saying, we're going to write down an act. We're going to write this. We're calling it an act. We're going to write down this act on a piece of paper. There is no goddamn place in the goddamn Constitution or the authorities granted for them to write acts granting themselves powers not delegated by the people. And they have, over and over again, the document's stuffed full of them. You and I have a contract. And, you know, we get together, hash out a contract. You know, I'm going to do this for you for this consideration. You're going to do this for me for this consideration. We both have a copy of that contract. We both signed that son of a bitch. It's witnessed, notarized, and filed. Now, can I just take that contract and start, scribble that part out, write this in, scribble over, yeah, let's put this in here. Can you do that? I mean, even in the simplest of venues, can you do that? Let alone with, well, the Constitution, which actually does have Article 5 that says the only way it can be altered is through a goddamn a constitutional amendment, which the requirements for getting a constitutional amendment are laid out in the fifth article in the Constitution itself. It was not followed. We decided that that's just, you know, we're going to do the, we know that's in there, and that's the law, and that's the only power. You've only granted us power to change the Constitution under these certain conditions as outlined in this contract. But, you know, that we don't know. We can't do it if you put that there. That stops us from doing what we're going to write acts. It's called, you know, it's like a decree when the king, you know, because he's all powerful. And I mean, his word is law. I mean, when he writes, he can write something down and sign it's law. So I think they're acting like kings. I think they're acting like aristocracy. I think it is a military dictatorship we are living under. An aristocracy that is so, such a twisted, sick abomination of what was proposed back then. But we got to remember. We got to remember that the articles of, anti-federalist papers, those people told us, you know what they're going to do, guys? They're going to put this goddamn Constitution, they're going to put a thing in there called Article 5. They're going to put all these restrictions on them to the tiny little bit of power because you're granting this power. But then again, weren't they creating their own power? Because the people didn't write the goddamn Constitution and it was not ratified by the people. Government, just like the UN, I guess that's how the whole thing began, really, was just writing it down on a piece of paper with zero authority. You talk about running a bluff. And then you finally reach the point we're talking here, you know, back then in the 1780s and 1779, 80, and where they were putting the Constitution together and they're writing it down. And we're sitting down and we're grown adults and we understand the English language and we're writing things down. And we're sitting there and we said, well, we're going to put a clause in here called the fifth article for changes to this contract. I mean, you're talking pretty serious shit to change a contract. Everybody's got to agree or else you have to hash it out. That contract known as the Constitution was a settlement for the war. So we put our guns down. Now, when them son of a bitches hand, go ahead. Sorry.
Henry.
Yes, sir.
Don't you think that all these contracts, the only thing that comes down to the bottom line besides printing money out of thin air, it's enforced by violence?
Oh, absolutely. It is the rule of the gun. It is ruled by force because it sure isn't ruled by acquisition. Because, like we're talking about the fifth article here. Now, goddammit, if that's the only way it'll ever be done, this is the conditions that will let you have this contract, that we will grant you these powers. Once they've got the powers, well, we got the powers, so we'll just start marking off all the restraints on us, and then, you know what, we're going to start writing things called acts. And this is no different than what I talked about earlier. Taking a contract, just start scribbling it out. One party just starts scribbling it out. And then that's binding on the other party. Do you really think so? Because I'm here to tell you it isn't. That contract was to settle that dispute. And when when Cornwallis handed that sword, or through his proxy handed that sword over to George Washington, he transferred his charter authority over to George Washington. And George Washington, I mean, then sat down and, you know, writing this contract, where was the people saying, well, I think we ought to get a contract thing, something like a, let's do a constitution. You know, they put together the Articles of Confederation, you know, 3 years after the goddamn war had begun, and they came to hijack the popular uprising and call it their revolution. So when that sword was handed over, it had to be. Because they could, you know, there was a piece up on the site today. It was a quote by Abraham Lincoln about, you know, they could eat China or all the Asian states and European states all together with all the resources of the world could never drink from the Ohio or lay a print upon the Blue Ridge Mountains because of this place, the way it is, the topography, the fight that it would be because everybody has a gun. And see, George E. Washington sent it back. I'm telling you, people. The way it was set up, when they handed that to George Washington, he was a fucking king. When he handed that sword, he handed his sovereignty over to George E. Washington. And then they came back and they had nothing to do with where the people figured in on this was them was doing the dying and killing to run the king out of here. That's the only place. And as soon as that was done, hey, push the people, get back out of the way. You're not a stakeholder here. You're not an interested party. You hold no interest in it. What the hell do you mean? And that's when the Bill of Rights was written, and they, you know, hey, you know what? We do. And you know why? Because we'll blow your goddamn head off. We will shoot your ass and hang your ass. Got it? So, goddamn, begrudgingly, the Bill of Rights was attached and ratified. But then again, you know, hell, what did they do? They started writing acts. Now, you people go in there and show me where they can write any act. And beyond that, how they can write any act that violates the Ninth Article to the Bill of Rights that, I mean, well, goddamn, why don't you just write anything down on the goddamn act? It ain't the people. It wasn't legislation submitted by the people. You know, when we want something, it's got to go through committees and it's got to go through this. And you got to bribe people. You got to kiss people's asses. You got to buy some prostitutes. You got to buy some cocaine. You want to get something moved through Washington. Them. Our servants now, our servants who are under us with inferior authority, absolutely inferior, well, they just write it down, and they can inflict it on them. You buy that shit? Are you going to buy that shit? We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be back in about 8 minutes. We're taking our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Times are strange, here I come, but I ain't the same. Mama, I'm coming home. Time's gone by, seems to be, you could have been a better friend to me. Mama, I'm coming home.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
take this badge from me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Oh. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Mama, put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. The cold black cloud is coming around, and I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Feels like I.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:37 Pacific Time, and that, or it's 12:38 Pacific Time in just a second. And that chorus was Rain with Knocking on Heaven's Door. It was just about the way we feel around here come Wednesday. Okay, now we were talking about the federal judge blocks Trump's sanctuary cities order. And, you know, we came down to this part. We were at violated the Constitution by attempting to punish local governments by seeking to deprive local jurisdictions of congressional allocated funds. And I don't know about you guys, but I do understand a little bit about grants. And you apply for a grant, you're accepted or denied. You don't have any legal right to challenge a goddamn grant. They have put this shit into place to make a soup. So that, I mean, to make going back against, well, removing anything they've put in place impossible. There is only one way you stop this shit, and it is through force, because it is by force that it is being instituted. Without any notice or opportunity to be heard. You have no notice or opportunity to be heard. What are you talking about? This isn't a congressional, congressional allocation is not a grant. There are two different animals, and by God, they know it. And it's just a game they're playing as they, you know, set up for the final liquidation cell. The Constitution vests the spending powers in Congress. But wait a minute, who hands out the grants? Oh, that would be the Senate. That is a part of the Congress. I mean, it's the other half of the Congress, the House and the Senate. But originally, the spending came out of the House. It was congressional allocations from the House, from the representatives of the people who were supposed to have control of the purse strings, not the president, it says. So the order cannot constitutionally place new conditions on federal funds, Eric said. I mean, this was set up by pettifog and mobo concepti word-twisting attorneys. They built this whole creature so that they could go, I mean, they can walk right up to, or, you know, come into a situation where there's a T in the road and go both ways at the same time and come back in the middle. Because it's not written in fact. It's all subject matter that they get to interpret through their courts. The California government that sued over the order argues that more than $2 billion in federal funding could be at stake. Quit harboring the fugitives. These people should be arrested. This is bullshit. It's like Hillary Clinton, you know, blatantly. It should be arrested, you know, tried and put up against the goddamn wall. She did what she did, and it's open. I mean, it's prima facie. What they're doing here is prima facie. But Trump is not going to arrest them. They're all part of a criminal cabal. When arrest starts, they got to arrest everybody and themselves because they're all guilty. The ruling will remain in place while the lawsuit moves through the court. The Trump administration may ask the U.S. Court of Appeals in San Francisco. What do you think they're going to say? I mean, the ruling came out of San Francisco, Santa Clara County. And I'm sure that Ninth Circuit Court of Faggots and Communists, illegal courts that cannot exist in this country, I'm sure that they're going to say, no, the illegals we have brought in, that we have stolen your resources to bring in. Well, no, you can't do it. You can't get rid of them. They're here. They are the people. And you know, this is their country. They've told us. Trump to order review of national monuments. This is from Yahoo News, and boy, what a twist. President Donald Trump plans to sign an executive order Wednesday directing his Interior Secretary to review the designation of tens of millions of acres of land as, quote, national monuments, an action that could upend protections, but in places like Utah instead of place like Utah and other states as Trump tries to rack up accomplishment in his first 100 days. And boy, and you'd think this, you know, he talked about because it's for us. He's a man of the people. He's going to take America back. I mean, he reached out and he, you, the guy that's been forgotten. No, what he meant was the corporate billionaire who has lost his leverage in the White House. I haven't forgotten you. Now, when he talked about the Antiquities Act and, taking all our federal lands, calling them national parks and they belong to the United Nations and you really can't, you don't bend a pine needle, we will arrest you. He talked about, you know, the hunters and the fishermen and the people who use the land, you know, you get to get back out there on it. It's your land. And we're going to go teach these people a lesson about trying to take your land that is yours, that you can walk up out on and do anything you want. And your freedom is there. Your Bill of Rights is there. Your common law jurisdiction is there. You're free. Let's see what the executive order will do. The Antiquities Act of 1906 authorizes the president to declare. What was that word? Antiquities. There it is. Act. You know, seizure of power. Taking of power. Unallocated by the people. Of 1906 authorizes the president to declare federal lands as monuments and restrict how the lands can be used. And see, this is about them, you know, they put gates across their lands. I can't go out there and hunt and fish because, hell, that's a federal monument. You can't hunt deer or hunt rabbits or hunt quail or hunt anything or go out and just sleep on it. And, you know, like James Boyd, they'll shoot your ass. The executive order will direct me as the secretary to review prior monument designations and to suggest legislation that changes or modifications to the monuments. Now here we go, changes and modifications. Here comes the three card Monty play. Because they've got to an agreement on Obamacare. You know what? It ain't going to be repealed. They're just going to make, what do they say here? What the hell do they call this here? Legislative changes and modifications to it, people. And it's to benefit you, not those contractors whose asses they suck. No. Interior Secretary Ryan Zink told reporters at the White House Tuesday evening. While Zink acknowledged criticism that the act has been overused by past presidents, he insisted he'd approach the topic with an open mind. Oh, and I'm telling you, this is Trump's secretary. He's going out there to open them lands back up so we can go out on them and camp, people, and enjoy that which belongs to us. If we want to pick us a mushroom, it belongs to us, doesn't it? It's our public lands, and we are the public. Former President Barack Obama infuriated Utah Republicans when he created the Bears Ears National Monument. And a lot of that money, a lot of that power that put Trump in there, it came out of Utah. Make no mistake about it. Infuriated Republicans when he created the Bears Ears National Monument in late December on more than 1 million acres of land that's sacred to the American, to the Native Americans. It don't belong to just one little, one little group of people, one little collective known as Native Americans. It, by God, belongs to each and every one of us equally, or there is no equality, there is no Bill of Rights. We're just in the goddamn way. And home to tens of thousands of archaeological sites, including ancient cliff dwellings. Now, if they cut this land off to any development, you know, so that the rich people couldn't go out there and, take the resources, we went over it, they pay like $247 and they can take $1 zillion worth of shit out of your land. $247, I paid my $247 last year, and that's what the people get. For having, strip mining, for having, the clear cuts, for, taking your goddamn resources and nothing, you get nothing. And when they're in control, when the robber barons are in control, you ain't going to go out on that land either. Because they're out there destroying it and you're in the goddamn way again. Now, if this was, taken off development and, my Freeman rights were up on it, I wouldn't care. I could go out there and do as I please. And that's the way it could be. This land has to be protected, but it can be only protected from industry, from destruction. The people can go out on it, and I don't care if I want a tree. I saw the son of a bitch down. It belongs to me. I go have it sawed up at a mill and build me a house. This is the slip that we're going to get through here was the notion that we're doing this for the people. Because, man, Donald Trump, he's just like you and me, man. He sits down and drinks a beer, doesn't he? Do you think? I mean, he's the same guy as we are, just wears a little different clothes. He's just like us. He's one of us. Okay, let's see. Archaeological sites, including ancient cliff dwellings. Republicans in the state said it was an egregious abuse of executive power and have asked Trump to take the unusual step of reversing the designation, arguing it will stymie growth by closing the area to new commercial and energy development. Like when the Chinese come here and the whores in Washington and the whores in Utah, you hand over public land that doesn't belong to them so that the Chinese can come in and get them a wind farm and a handful get rich and the rest of us lose our land. The Antiquities Act does not give the president explicit power to undo designation, and no president has ever taken such a step. The order is one of a handful of the president is set to sign this week as he tries to rack up accomplishment ahead of his wonderful. I mean, same old shit. You people, you fell for this. I mean, how many of you are still out there going, well, I did see some of you on the news this morning. I mean, they had these retards. They go into this restaurant and they talk to four people. I like the slogans. I mean, this is why this person, that's why I voted for. I like the slogans. Did you? This is one of them slogans, isn't it? I'm going to take the land back for the people. Not the international corporate mafia to be handed over to the international Chinese, your number one goddamn enemy. Well, no, they wouldn't do that. The president has used executive orders aggressively over the last 3 months. Executive fiat. Find that for me in the Constitution, would you please? Of course, George Washington, the would-be king, I mean, I guess they could sign executive orders because they were actually just leaving, wrote something down on paper for an allowance. They already had the goddamn sovereignty. It was surrendered to them by the army that you've paid. And at the end, the people had to pay for that war for them. The rich don't lose nothing ever, just like this 2008 thing. All of those people who, just like Mnuchin, head CEO of Goldman Sachs. Not only didn't he go to prison, but now he's in the White House and he's made record profits since the day it happened, since the day his swindle was discovered. Okay, 100th day. Executive orders aggressively. Yes, he has. Zinc, in the last 3 months, despite rallying against their use by Obama, we've never seen that before, have we? Where the new charlatan stands up and goes, man, look what he's doing. He's using executive orders, and that's just unconstitutional. We can't abide by that. He's tearing this country apart without authority. As soon as they get in, well, I'm writing some executive orders. I'm going to start writing them. I'm going to write one every day. And you people fell for it. Zinc said the order, which Trump will sign during a visit to his department, will cover several dozen monuments, across the country designated since 1996 that total 100,000 acres or more. From the Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument in southern Utah to the Bear's Ears in southeastern Utah. He'll provide an intern report in 45 days in which he'll provide a recommendation on Bear's Ears and a final report within 120 days. And as soon as he does it, because this is a fight, take the people out of it. You've seen this. This wasn't about opening them goddamn our public lands up to our people, was it? It was about opening them up to exploitation by foreign governments. But watch what happens here. Because Trumpy, he is owned by the Zionist Jews, zillionaires, and the multi-billionaires, the corporate elite. And he is going to do their goddamn bidding. But watch what happens. As soon as it happens, you know what? Some faggot-ass judge in California is going to say, no, you can't do that. Not in Utah. What the hell do you mean I can't do it? You can't do it nowhere. You see, because you've been operating under an illegal authority, though this whole government has for, oh, right around about 100 years now. And boy, you're either going to back off or, hey man, you want to litigate this out in public? Or should we go in the back room and see if we can make a deal? Over the last 20 years, Zinc said tens of millions of acres have been designated as national monuments, limiting their use for farming. Oh, what's that got to do with me? Timber harvesting. Oh, they get the timber for a song too. They steal it. And oil and gas exploration. We already talked about that. We give it to them for $15 a barrel and they get the international price on it because, well, they're the middleman that came in and bought up a government official. Well, we're going to give them leases for $2. It's a lot of money back them days. $2. A handful handed the whole goddamn country fucking legally as a fraud on the rest of us. And it has to end, people. Through by and large, Zinc said he feels the designations have done a great service to the public. He said he worries about overuse and overreach and stepping on pine needles and inflicting international law known as Agenda 21 on people he has zero authority over. See, the communists, they want the land for international communism where they take it and eventually, like the queen wants to dig a little copper out of the ground and gold and whatever else you might find there. Well, just give it to the queen, because we can just give what's yours to the queen of England. You remember the war you fought to, well, run the king of England out of here because it was going to be the Americans' America, our people's America. Well, that's what the communists want. They want it for international communism, for power. We're talking about the richest piece of real estate on planet Earth. And they will fence it off from you. No, you can't walk on it. And if you can walk on it, we'll charge you to walk on it. And you'll pay the same price as a Chinaman who just got off the airplane. Because you people are just in the way. You have no stake in this. You are not stakeholders. It doesn't belong to you. Want to bet? I think the concern that I have, that the president has, I think... The concern that I have and the president has, I mean, you children, is that when you designate a monument, the local community affected should have a voice, he said. Now, this is the other end of it where they're whoring it off on the other side. And the thing is, it's not bad enough that they're whoring your goddamn property off to foreigners, but then you got to pay the same price to walk on your own goddamn land and you're under their goddamn authority on it. This is what happens. This is how they remove your common law authority from these goddamn, when they make a monument, that's what they're doing. They're putting it under administrative jurisdiction, which is federal admiralty jurisdiction, and that's really what this is all about for the communists. But Senator Martin Hendrick, some, including Senator Orrin Hatch, Republican Utah, have hailed the order as the end of massive federal land grabs. And no, it's going to be massive, goddamn, what the hell, we call them, not corporation, what am I going to, why am I having trouble with that? God damn it. Back in the old days when they called them the robber barons. It's a massive robber baron grab as opposed to a massive communist grab. It's being grabbed from you and it's being grabbed from me. And they're taking it and they ain't done no aim for you to see any benefit from it for the rest of your days until you're buried in it, fertilizing their dirt. But Senator Martin Hendrick, Democrat, North New Mexico, said that if Trump truly wants to make America great again, he should use the Antiquities Act to protect and conserve America's public lands in New Mexico. Obama's designation of Rio Grande del Norte National Monument and Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument have preserved important lands while boosting the economy, Hendrick said. A story that has been repeated across the country. If this sweeping review is an excuse to cut the public land or cut out the public and scale back protections, you already cut the public out, you goddamn communist. Tell me I can't carry my guns on your national monuments. That's a violation of my second art. I mean, I won't even go into it. You dirty scum sucking insurgents. Where were we? Hendrick said, recent polls have shown strong support for national parks and monuments. I'm sure they have. I'm sure you went and asked three communists and they all said, yeah. We know what your goddamn polls are too. National Parks and Monuments said, Christy Goldfuss, who directed the White House Council on Environmental Quality under Barack Obama. Christina Wagoner, Vice President of the Boulder Escalante Chamber of Congress in Utah, said business near the Grand Staircase Escalante Monument in southern Utah are booming, driven by sharp increases in tourism. That's where you go and pay to be on your own goddamn land. And where that son of a bitch that came over here from China yesterday, he pays the same as you. He doesn't own, he has no rights in this country. Okay, evidently, neither do you. They're going to charge you for, I mean, this is what we've been talking about of late, ain't it? Who's it belong to? And we've told you all along. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is why they got that 1.4 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. Because if you want to sit down and show the paperwork, well, it belongs to you and me. And they know it. We are the only ones that have it. Nobody else has a claim on it. It belongs to the people. It belongs to you. It belongs to me. Wagoner, Vice President Boulder has created a sharp increase in tourism since the area was designated in 1996 by President Bill Clinton. And see, that's what it's for. It's for revenue for the corporation. It isn't for you and your enjoyment and for your use as your property. They're managing it. They managed to take it clear away from you and make it theirs. And now they charge you to walk on it. And don't step on a goddamn pine needle. I'm here today to support the monument and my three-year-old son. Oh, my God. The children. I forgot about the children. Wagner said on a conference call with reporters organized by a pro-Obama group, once our land is gone, it's gone. By God, that's right. And you done took it, you son of a bitch. Only it ain't. Once it's gone, it's gone. It's gone. But we're going to come and we're going to bury your ass in it. And we're going to take it back. Because it belongs to us, not you. Not the old federal, no matter what face he wears. Anyways, guys, we're up at the top of the hour, and we're just going to go ahead and roll across. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, on this Weasel Wednesday, the 26th day of April, 2017. I'm your host, Henry Shively, and it's 1 o'clock Pacific time, which would, on a normal day, would be the time for the tactical report with JD, U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny. However, John had some things he had to take care of this week in his private life, and he told us he'd be back on Monday, so we'll see JD on Monday, and till then, we soldier on. Former NYPD cops accepted strippers, cash bribes, and prostitutes for gun licenses. Say it ain't so. An infringement on your goddamn rights. And here they are. We're going to get all the way into this article because there's a very interesting slant to it, let's say. This is from the BuzzFeed News, and it was sent in by Joe from Mass Private Eye for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Manhattan federal prosecutors announced corruption charges Tuesday against a group of former NYPD officers who ran a conspiracy to expedite New York City gun license applications in exchange for bribes, including vacations, strippers, prostitutes, guns, and cash. And, you know, you say, man, they got him. But, man, when you find out why they got caught or why they weren't allowed just to continue with what's become the norm in this country. According to the complaint from about 2014 to 2016, two former members of the NYPD's licensing division, Paul Dean, a former supervisor, and Robert Espinel, allegedly conspired with gun license expediters, in quotation marks, to fast-track handgun applications for clients that included people arrested. What? How do you guys feel about this shit that they, you know, they're looking out for you and that these guns are a bad thing and they really respect your rights. It's just they don't want you to get hurt. People arrested and convicted for crimes involving weapons and violence. And they'll just say, well, this couple of bad, it is, it's just a couple of bad apples. I'm not even going to go into it. Of course, it's just a couple of bad apples. This isn't going on across the nation. They don't put these infringements in place and then charge you for your goddamn, for a privilege that is an affront to your rights. And for individuals with a history of domestic violence, well, you know, just more communist bullshit. A third member of the conspiracy, Gattino, Guy, in quotation marks, Valestrero, a former NYPD detective who owned a gun store and firearms training academy, which Dean and Espinal advised applicants to use to apply for licenses, is also charged in the case. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd say Jews. Only a Jew could put something together. You got to go over to Cousin Izzy, and you got to get a paper from him. It's going to cost you, you know, you could take his class for $500, where you sit in a room for 1 hour, and somebody shows you what you already, you know, shows you a gun and pulls the cylinder out or takes a clip out and puts it back in. Always keep it pointed at the floor now, children. $200 now, you got the slip of paper. Well, actually, you probably didn't even have to go into where the slip of paper. You just got it. To apply for license, Firearms Academy with Dean and Espinal advised applicants to use to apply for licenses is also charged in the case. The NYPD License Unit is a 40-officer unit responsible for approving the applications for all gun licenses and license upgrades in New York City. According to the complaint, the NYPD is aware that from time to time, certain applicants utilize consultants. Well, we've got another party coming in here who claim they can speed up the application process, known as expediters. Of course, they would have to be within the system in the criminal cabal anyway. But the police urge applicants to avoid their services. Four other individuals also named in the indictment have pleaded guilty in the case in hopes of receiving lenient sentences. These other defendants are David Villanueva and Richard Ochital, two former members of the NYPD's license unit, who were charged with accepting bribes in exchange for granting gun licenses. Also named in the case are two gun license expediters, Shea Lithenstein, and Frank Shu, owners of gun stores who both pleaded guilty to being involved in the conspiracy. In a separate complaint, a former New York City prosecutor, John Chambers, is accused of bribing Villanueva with Broadway show tickets to sporting events, shows tickets to sporting events, and an $8,000 Paul Picot watch to expedite gun licenses. Well, this is how the system works: equal access and equal protection and equality. At times, according to the complaint, Villanueva and Ochital also provided pre-signed pink slips, the document that an applicant must obtain to present to a dealer each time they wish to purchase a gun to expediters for their clients. So he's given this over to these expediters, the Livenstein, Shea Lightenstein, Stein. I'm probably jumping to conclusions here. Let's go on. Investigators claim that by fostering a relationship involving under the table payments and the exchange of gifts, the expediters, the people who got the Jews named in the case had free rein to walk into the license division. This is a part of the New York Police Department, but these Stein people could just walk into the involving under the table exchange of gifts, and the expediters named in the case had free rein to walk into the license division's office at one police plaza in New York City and negotiate the quick approval of their clients' applications. Sounds like a fair and equal system to me. What are they complaining about? During the execution of the scheme, Dean, who supervised the unit, allegedly told Villanueva he should buy his wife a shovel. Because they would make so much money that they would have to dig themselves out of it. It's just a goddamn outrage, people, isn't it? And you know, this shit has went on for a whole long time, and you got to wonder just all of a sudden somebody took notice of something that had to be blatant right in their face like it is with us. On occasion, according to the FBI expediter and gun store proprietor, Shuhu hosted Dean, Espinel, and Villanueva at his store, where he catered meals, provided alcohol, and hosted parties where he arranged, at Dean's request, prostitutes and strippers to attend. Of course, and cocaine. Shuhu also took Valinerva and Ochita and their spouses on four vacations from 2014 to 2016 to the Bahamas, Mexico, Hawaii, and the Dominican Republic. Again, I say this is common practice. This has gone on. They must have crossed the wrong people is all I can figure. Because, I mean, of course, I mean, you do something this blatant, you got to have the okay from the top, don't you? In addition, gun license applicants told the FBI that they provided gifts for approved licenses to the former officers, including meals at restaurants, free liquor and beer, free car repairs, and vacations and nights out at strip clubs. I mean, it sounds like legitimate business to me. One applicant identified by investigators as the owner of a bakery store in Brooklyn told the FBI he took Dean Espinal and other NYPD officials to a strip club in Queens and paid thousands of dollars in services to get his gun license upgraded from a limited carry license. Well, of course, you look in the book. They probably have an easy guide to getting your concealed carry. And, I mean, this is right there. I'm sure it's written out in simple terms so you know what to do when you're bribing officials. Upgraded from a limited carry license to a full carry license. Now, like I said, this is just standard operating procedure. Why is this in the news? And why did they bother these guys? Of course, this is how America's run. Towards the end of 2015, the scheme shifted when Dean Espinal and Valestero decided that after they retired from the NYPD, they planned to go into the expediting business themselves by setting up a consulting firm. In one conversation, according to investigators, Espinal referred to Jewish expediters who were making all the money while we're busting our asses. Uh-oh. So they were going to screw the Jews. Everything would have went fine. You wouldn't be hearing about this. Only these people didn't understand who the goddamn Jews are. They thought they were something. I guess they're learning better. In turn, the former officers attempted to extort the expenditures at the expediters. That would be the Jews, okay? Shuhu and Lithenstein, oi, pressuring them to hand over clients. Uh-oh, why do you think this bust went down now, people? They were pressuring the Jews to hand over clients and pay a fee to continue to have access to the license unit. Uh-oh, the Jews own this country. If they let you in on one of their scams, you keep your mouth shut and you run exactly like they say. You can do it right out in the goddamn open. Nobody's going to say anything about it because they own the investigators. And the investigators claim that the former officers met with Shuhu and threatened to have him banned from one police plaza if he did not pay them $500 for each of his clients. The former officer also made the same attempt to extort Lithenstein, oi, who, according to the complaint, investigators believe was charging as much as $18,000 to clients in exchange for getting applications pushed through. Those are what rights? If you got enough money, man, you can even be a felon. Go in and walk right in the store and buy one, can't you? Or did I miss something in this article? In addition to the conspiracy and bribery charges, Dean Espinal and Vassalero are charged with extortion in connection with their attempt to create their own gun licensing expediting business. You don't fuck with the Jews, you understand me, boy? NYPD Commissioner James P. O'Neill said in a statement, over the past 3 years, the NYPD's Internal Affairs Bureau has conducted a thorough and comprehensive investigation into coordination with the FBI, in coordination with the FBI. Oh, but there you go. You don't mess with Jews, or else they'll send their lackeys in the NYPD and the FBI to get you.
You'll find a knife in your back.
You're goddamn right, and your handprints on it somehow. NYPD Commissioner James P. O'Neill said in a statement, over the past 3 years, the NYPD's Internal Affairs Bureau has conducted a thorough and comprehensive investigation in coordination with the FBI. The behavior, as alleged in today's charging documents, is intolerable. Man, this shit was, you tell me this ain't so goddamn blatant that they all didn't have to know about it. Come on. They do have accountants. They do books, don't they? They do actually have to fill out forms and file those forms. And if you see some forms that are, it was filled out yesterday and it was filed the day before. Wonder how that works. No, so what they did is they messed with the power structure. And this, the Jews were getting the lion's share of the money because they were doing the actual charging and then bribing the NYPD officers. Officers, these piece of shit, criminal, dog shit, eating bastards. But, you know, and so they're making all the money. And then, you know, then that's what we're doing. We're busting our asses committing fraud. And you're getting all the money, Jew. Well, we're gonna cut into your action, Jew. Oh, yeah? Say hello to the FBI and the NYPD Internal Affairs Unit, my people. And it's just intolerable. It's just intolerable, people. The charges reflect a serious violation of oath. These officers... Excuse me. Just a second. they took an oath. These men, and they take that serious, you know. A serious violation of the oath these officers swore to uphold, eroding the trust the public has in this department. Oh, I bet you. And you do a lot of trust. I trust them. You trust them. We all trust them. Look at the polls. The NYPD will continue to investigate alleged wrongdoing and root out corruption wherever it might be found. Well, let's see. God bless America here, man. I mean, come on. You guys buying any of that shit? Because I'm not. And it's cheap shit. And I'm still not buying it. Let's see what we got coming up next. Hit a coffee. Don't get to stop talking. No, I don't like one. I'll let that one next. Let's see what we got. Turkish. This was good yesterday. Maybe you know it's got to be such a cluster F over there in the middle, you know, in the Middle East. Who's my friend today, and who's my enemy, and who's shooting me, and who am I shooting? And who's got the money, and where's the money coming from, and then who do I shoot? Turkish jets bomb U.S. backed forces in Iraq and Syria, U.S. officials say. This is from Fox News. More than 30 U.S.-backed Syrian and Iraqi Kurdish fighters were killed in a series of airstrikes carried out by Turkish jets on Monday. Two American defense officials confirmed to Fox. Now, dang it, I thought that Turkey was our buddy. And that, you know, they're one of those good Middle Eastern countries in Northern Africa. I don't know where in the hell they're at. They're up. Oh, they're pretty far north, actually. And they're our buddies. They're our allies. Our partners, the people that are standing with us against this goddamnable Assad, who won't give the Jews all of the fresh water in Syria, and won't give the Jews the timber, won't give the Jews the oil, which they're already pumping on the Golan Heights. But, man, what went wrong here? I mean, you know what this is getting to be like, people? Think about it. I mean, this is not even like real gangster shit. This is like the punk gangs on the streets, you know, screwing each other over, stabbing each other in the back. Vince, you know, we're buddies today. Tomorrow I'm heisting your you got one of your guys out there selling dope. Boom, I shot him, took your dope. I mean, this is what it's getting to be like. This is how goddamn low rent it's getting to be. This is how third world it's getting to be. Because this is how it works in the third world, and I think you people know it. Dozens of fighters were also wounded in the strikes. Both officials said there were no U.S. troops among the fighters who were hit. The closest U.S. soldiers were about 6 miles from the site of the strikes. This is very serious, said one outraged U.S. official. Uh-oh. This is very serious. They hit our shipment. They hit our guys, man. This is serious. We've got to hit them back. Make them an offer they can't refuse. U.S. and Russian troops in the areas of the attack were warned about an hour before 24 Turkish jets and two Turkish drones bombed locations in northern Iraq and northeast Syria. Senior Russian officials contacted U.S. counterparts to try to get Turkey to back off the strikes. But this was intentional. This wasn't no accident. So you got people, so many factions are fighting each other over there, and people from other countries. I mean, goddammit, it's invasion when you cross over somebody's border and start shooting. But you got, it's not only invasion, it's like here, it's like a low rent version of what's going on here. There's a scramble, there's a fight. Who's going to get this from Syria? Who's going to get the Syrians this? Who's going to get the Syrians that? I'm going to have control over this. You're going to have control. Push, push, shove, shove. another dollar, another contract. If we can get another foot, it's going to take 100 men are going to die getting that foot. Oh, they're just people. Human resources, glut of it on the world market, people. Given the extraordinarily complex battle space, I love that I just laid out for you. You know, you got, goddamn, how many different factions? Daesh, ISIL, ISIS, goddamn, the so-called Syrian rebels, which are the ISIS and the Daesh, and, you know, the, not the Taliban, but the, oh, goddamn, the Al-Qaeda. And, you know, the ones that, you know, that old McCain was over there putting his arms around. I mean, you know, all of these goddamn factions, I mean, these are, and it's not like that this is like a civil thing within a country where these different factions start really fighting. These are people coming from other goddamn countries to fight over what belongs to, hey man, it's going to get that bad here. What are we really seeing here, right, in our own country? All these goddamn foreigners coming and pushing and shoving. We're like, hey, you're not a stakeholder. Get out of here. Who are you? I'm an American. You're American. You're nothing. You're a citizen. Get out of here. We'll have you killed. As they're looting and fighting over what doesn't, I mean, that's what this is in Syria. And that's what it will end up being here. A fight over the stolen loot. Right under the eyes of the people they're stealing it from, thinking the people who they stole it from are just going to, well, I'm rooting on old Joe to get my shit. Because that's what's going on. Extraordinarily complex battle space. By God, I reckon. In these areas, it is vital that Turkey and all partners in the defeat of ISIS effort coordinated their actions closely. Oh, we're all over there, defeat ISIS. They're all over there looting the country. We need to, what they need to do is coordinate their looting a little better, because that's what's going on over there. And somebody went to go get this. No doubt. Whoever these people were that were bombed, I think they say later on in the article, but whoever they were that ate the bombs, they were going to loot someplace that, well, Turkey had the dibs on that loot. Defeat ISIS effort coordinated their actions closely as we work together to maintain maximum pressure on ISIS. Oh, you, man, I tell you, it's just laughable. Oh, we're over there. We're fighting ISIS. Hey, quick, grab that boat. No, grab that. And ensure the safety of all coalition personnel there. Coalition personnel, that's another name for thieves. Pentagon spokesman Major Adrian J.T. Ranking Galloway told Fox News. U.S. officials told Fox that Kurds were not warned to advance in advance of Turkish airstrike. Well, the Kurds, okay. The thing is just to completely, I mean, you talk about trying to baffle you with bullshit and completely confuse you. I'm confused. This is the second time I've read this, and when I'm confused. Now, they warned the Kurds, wait a minute, I got to do this again here. Well, maybe because they were bombing a place that was getting ready to get looted, they were giving air cover for their looters. I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know. U.S. officials told Fox News that Kurds were not warned in advance of Turkey's airstrike. I'm taking it was Kurds that got nailed. There wasn't enough time. Said there was another faction going to go over there and loot that warehouse, said one official. State Department Deputy Spokesperson Mark Toner told reporters Tuesday the U.S. was concerned Turkey conducted the strikes without proper coordination and emphasized the importance of respecting Iraq's borders and stuff. What? Respecting Iraq's borders and sovereignty. It has sovereignty, huh? And borders. Ain't like those, you know, when they were first talking about, you know, ISIS. It's a world terror organization. It's spreading across Iraq. Remember they had the red that would go over Iraq and it went over into the top of Syria. It's spreading. That must be how that, a fluid border? Toner said U.S. officials had directly shared their concerns with Turkey. Wow. I mean, this is some serious shit. We're going to have a sit-down, boys. Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, responded, "We are obliged to take measures, period. We must take steps. We shared this with the United States and Russia, and we are sharing it with Iraq as well," Reuters reported. earlier this month. I mean, this is Keystone Cop shit. I mean, this is goofy. This is the best organized people on the planet doing something. Well, I guess looting ain't quite so organized, is it? If that's what you're doing, and I think that's what they're doing. Earlier this month, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, Mad Dog to you and me, hosted his Turkish counterpart, Fikri Işık, at the Pentagon for talks about the upcoming Raqqa offense in Syria. Both secretaries ignored a question from a reporter about the role Kurds would play in that operation. I'm taking it was Kurds that was shot. I mean, but then again, what were you bombing? Who were you bombing? And you didn't tell the Kurds, and the Kurds got killed. And, you know, see what's the things that are missing here, people. Who were you bombing? And for what purpose? Were the Kurds moving in on some of the loot that the Turks had already called dibs on? That's what I say here. And, I mean, this is how bad it's become. This is gangsters shooting it out. Pity the people in Syria. Both secretaries ignored a question. There are currently about 1,000 U.S. troops on the ground in Syria. In March, 400 Marines deployed to Syria as part of an artillery battery to support U.S.-backed troops fighting around Raqqa. The U.S. Air Force uses a Turkish airbase near the border with Syria to conduct strikes against ISIS. Last week, Fox News reported ISIS leaders and hundreds of bureaucrats, in quotation marks, had been seen by U.S. military drones fleeing the terror group's so-called capital. What in the hell are you talking about? The terror group's capital? So-called capital during the past 2 months and heading to the Syria city of Deir ez-Zor, located 90 miles southeast of Raqqa. I mean, is this one of these factions? I'm taking it this is their capital. I mean, what are you guys over there for? Do you think you're American? You can just form governments at a drop of a hat? Some also fled to Al-Mayadin, further down the Euphrates River, and the location where U.S. Special Operations Forces killed a mid-level associate of ISIS, Abu Bar al-Baghdadi, late last week. The U.S. views the Syrian Kurdish People's Protection Units. And here's another one. I mean, is this Syrian Army, the Syrian People's Protection Unit? I mean, who are you talking about? Now listen, the U.S. views the Syrian Kurdish People's Protection Unit, known as the YPG, as key allies in the fight against ISIS. But they are ISIS. Remember, that's who Assad's shooting at, and they're shooting, but they're protection units, but they're ISIS, but they're not. This is like who's on first. This is fucking silly, people. Think about it. And we're sitting here. It's happening. And I guess everybody's just thunderstruck. Reality came, and it came quick and hard. Turkey views the group as an extension of the Kurdistan Workers' Party. Okay, here we go. I mean, here it's Syrian Kurdish People's Protection Unit, extension of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK. Man, does this sound like, I mean, the Soviet Union? I mean, all of these parties and not at all. You know what they don't talk about in any of these articles that we read? The Syrian people. Because they're just like us. They're in the goddamn way. That's why they got to get blown up. That's why they got to have their houses burned down. Their children, I mean, hit with cluster bombs and shit. Because they're in the way. They're in the way of these people looting that goddamn country. That's why they're being killed. Hey, man, we should bring them all over here. We have some high-tech people among them that could take the jobs of the rest of our middle class. Hell, it works out good for everybody if you're one of the international elite. A Turkish insurgent group that has conducted a Turkish... Now, goddamn it. Now, we're here. This is Syrian Kurdish People's Protection Units of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, a Turkish insurgent group. So they're not even from Syria, but there's the Syrian Kurdish People's Protection from Turkey insurgent group that has conducted a decades-long insurgency that's killed thousands, Both Ankara and Washington considered the PKK a terrorist group. Okay, so this is who they hit with. I mean, this has to be who they hit with the things, and it's all right. See, they were allies in the fight against ISIS, so they would be on your... No? Well, ISIS is on your... I don't know anymore, people. I swear to God, I don't. Do you really, honestly, understand any of this shit? I mean, you can tell that it's all bullshit. It's like a goddamn mob that comes into a store. You've seen these flash mobs. Excuse me a second. Anyway, you've seen the flash mobs. You know, they come in and they just attack the shelves as fast as they can. They grab everything they can and out the door. And what you don't see is what's going on here is going on a block down the street where they're beating the hell out of each other and taking from each other and trying to get to, everybody wants to steal the most. Everybody wants a little bit.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know how true it is or not, but I was reading something this morning about that Israel said that if they can have the Golan Heights, then after all this crap, they'll rebuild Syria. Have you read anything about that?
Well, I haven't seen it, but I don't doubt you one little bit because, you know,
right.
And when they come in to rebuild Syria after they're done rebuilding, you're going to notice that, man, you know, they've changed all the names of the streets and they have Jewish settlements all over the place. What happened here?
And that was the point that this article, if I find it again, I'll send it in to you.
Okay.
I didn't know how valid it was, but it does make sense. But they were saying, and that at the same time, that's why Israel wants the destruction. They want Europe to take all the refugees and us to take all these refugees, and that way they've got it all at that point.
Yeah, pretty much clear them out. They've killed all the Palestinians. I mean, they've committed genocide on the Palestinians, and it took so goddamn long. Wouldn't it be easier just to come and dump them in the United States, and they could get down to settling the rest of the Middle East and that boundary line that says Israel just keeps expanding and expanding, because we all know that Lebanon's next, and after that's Jordan, and after that is Iran. And that line's going to keep it because, you know, and they're going to be neutral all the way. They don't want no part in any of this ugly war stuff. But in the end, they will end up with everything. Anyways, guys, we're down at the bottom of the hour again. So we are going to take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in, about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from thetrenchesworldreport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1:37 Pacific Time. That, of course, was Audio Slave. Drown me slowly. Drown me somehow. Maybe that's waterboarding. Who knows? Anyways, we've got one more for you. Now, we've been talking about how the two factions, the International Socialist Socialist Communist and the National Socialist, Fabian Socialist, that's right. The good old boy, Masonic, Dirty Church Cabal have been battling each other. I mean, you see, they try to make it look like anything but what it is, but it's so goddamn plain to see. Internet companies are readying for a showdown with telecoms and Republican-controlled government. Oh, see, let's listen. See if you can guess which faction is which. Internet companies, CIA, are readying for a showdown with telecoms and Republican-controlled government. Robber barons over a policy near and dear to their hearts, net neutrality. Net neutrality basically prevents broadband providers from playing favorites or steering users toward or any form of particular interest at internet sites. And you see, this is about the corporate boys. They're taking control. I mean, this is a fight for control of this nation. And we're just a resource, a natural resource here. And, that has to be actually eliminated because we're not a resource. We are people. And this whole thing belongs to us. We got two, it's just like Syria. We're watching two factions battle over what doesn't belong to either one of them who's going to take it from us. Net neutrality basically prevents broadband providers from playing favorites, like the rich, or steering users towards or away from particular internet sites, like From the Trenches. Under rules enacted during the Obama administration, the communists, we talked about all these blocks, the communists, they had contingency plans. Everybody tries to look at it like, oh, they're just dumber. And no, they're not dumb. These people got the best minds that will betray their own people and for a big pile of mammon working to, figure out these angles. And like I said, it's all attorneys. It's all these sleazy, goddamn con man, fraudulent bastards. And going back and forth, and I'm telling you, before it's all over with, there will become push and shove. It will be violence. Oh, and the idea was to get us in two camps and get us to kill, and because that's the way they've always done it since the feudal times. You get out there and it was settled, you goddamn, your guys, your peasants, your serfs, they wiped my serfs out. I mean, and back then, actually, people actually had a higher value than they do now because they were considered, valuable for the work you could extract from them as slaves. But now there's a glut of slaves on the market. So, to settle it this time, they want a big bloodbath. And like I said, the people who they don't have under control, the 75%, we're supposed to divide into two camps. And these are the camps. We're looking right at them. Anyway, the net neutrality, where were we? Obama administration, let's see. Under the rules enacted during the Obama administration, the likes of Comcast and Verizon, CIA, which offer their own video services, they'd very much like subscribers to use, can't slow down Netflix. This is the other side. I'm sorry. I had them mixed up there. This is the Masonic Dirty Church Cabal here. The robber barons. This is the power, elite in this country that have always, the aristocrats that took over right after, we beat the British out of here. They surrendered our sword to them and we became their property. Cheap subscribers to use can't slow down Netflix, can't block YouTube, can't, charge, Spotify extra to stream faster than Pandora. And it would come down to who would own it? Well, the people with the most money, wouldn't they? They would control it. And once you've squeezed the others out, you don't even, you just own it. It belongs to you. There's no competition, and that's why this country, I mean, that's one of the mechanisms that have been used to destroy this country is, you know, regulation and, you know, making it a proposition of money, and you don't got any. Broadband companies hate the net neutrality rules. Well, that's the communist. And why? And they have an ally in new Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai, who has repeatedly called the regulations a mistake. Pai could launch the process of unwinding the rules as early as Wednesday, according to reports. Early tech resistance, and, you know, here we have the communist element. The government may downgrade federal prohibitions on anti-consumer and anti-consumer and anti-competitiveness actions to voluntary commitments by internet service providers. And I'll tell you, who's not being mentioned here again, people? Oh, that's right. The people who own this goddamn country, the people, you and me, the sovereigns of this country, we're in the way. The internet industry, which considers net neutrality essential for its businesses, isn't standing still, and it may be keeping some of its most potent tactics in reserve. Uh-oh. Many internet companies are already running the Washington, playbook, lobbying, the Washington playbook, with bribery, lobbying Congress, schmoozing government regulators, I don't even want to think about what schmoozing is, and signing letters of protest. Boston tech companies and venture capitalists met with Senator Ed Markey, a Massachusetts Democrat, last Friday to discuss defending net neutrality. Similar companies have made the loudest noises so far. But you know, the net, like everything else in this country, this is being liquidated, and none of it can belong to Americans. That's what has to be. I mean, they have to get rid of the whole notion that anybody, any people ever owned this country. Smaller companies have made the loudest noises so far. Engine, a policy group for startups, is calling up small internet companies to keep them updated and asking them to sign a letter that urges the FCC not to dismantle the net neutrality rules. And see, these same son of a bitches, you know, they're talking about, like, they're trying to preserve it's for the people, it's for you and me, they're trying to preserve it. No, these are the same people that take out sites, I mean, that do shit to, that have, you know, attacked us. We're under constant attack in this do you know they're neutral? That's why they call it net neutrality. They're not against anybody except for the people that would expose who they are. Estee brought sellers to meet with legislators or their staff members in Washington last month. Although the company says the visit involved other issues in addition to net neutrality, Roku, the streaming video gadget maker, hired lobbyists to set up DC meetings for the first time. And I mean, this is how the people are represented. No, the people aren't represented. I think was this Mammon being the representative? Mammon deciding the issue? You know, like the elections, they told you, well, that person won because they put more mammon into it. More power, the power of mammon. You know how it works. Calm before the storm, the industry's giants, however, have mostly stayed silent beyond offering blanket statements of support for net neutrality. The Internet Association, which speaks for Facebook, CIA, Google, CIA, Amazon, CIA, Microsoft, CIA, and Netflix, CIA, and Uber, CIA, did call on Pai to support net neutrality earlier this month. Things could get noisier. You know, it's just like where we're talking about them, you know, taking back the federal lands, you know, getting rid of the monuments. It's for us. No, we're not stakeholders, people. They have completely dismissed us from the equation. We're a herd of cattle to be controlled, a dangerous herd of cattle, admittedly, but it's just like in Syria. They are so goddamn outrageously panicked in the stealing. They don't even care that you see it anymore. They're running and grabbing as much as they can. If the ship breaks loose, I guess it breaks loose. I'm going to get that last, I'm going to grab that next coin. I'm going up to the top of my mountain and I'm putting it there. Meanwhile, the FCC chairman, things could get noisier if and when the FCC begins to formally review the roadblock. Really? FCC, huh? Meanwhile, the FCC chairman has also been looking for allies. P- Pei traveled to Silicon Valley last week to meet with big tech companies. These are internationals. This is China. Here, let's just call it what it is. It's China, Communist China. They went to Silicon Valley to meet with Communist China tech companies. A visit that was, quote, extremely well received, I'm sure. They probably even had interpreters for you. According to Oracle, Senior Vice President Ken Gluck. Wonder what Ken Gluck. Now, goddammit, that sounds Oriental. Oracle sides with the telecom industry in opposing net neutrality rules. Pei attended an event held at Cisco, which attendees from Oracle, Apple, Facebook, Oracle, CIA, Apple, CIA, Facebook, CIA, HP, CIA, Salesforce, CIA, and Intel, CIA. Gluck said, Pei said he met with Oracle. I mean, they just go over these again. At least on one big supporter of net neutrality, Netflix has tempered its rhetoric recently. The streaming video company said in January that weaker net neutrality would hurt it because it's now too popular with users for broadband providers to interfere with its service. The company added that it still supports net neutrality on a public basis. And they try to talk about this like this is about you and me, that we're, you know, this is something that, I mean, we're just victims of whatever they do. We're an inconsequential consequence. What comes next? Oh boy, I can't wait. The tech industry is pretty good at getting consumers on its side. You see, oh, there we are. What were we? Oh, we're consumers, not owners, not stakeholders. We are consumers. We consume that which belongs to us and we pay them to consume it on its side when it decides to fight for a cause. Because, I mean, we can steer the stupid people. We have solid communist organizations across this country. And you know what? We can get 1 million signatures there. I mean, we're nothing of the population. We're such a low percentage that we're sitting here, our teeth are rattling in fear in case that, you know, things break loose. And the people actually say, goddamn, you suck. But we've had enough. Boom, 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 boom. You're all dead. In 2012, internet companies took on the entertainment industry. Oh, I love this. In a fight, internet company. Oh man, they're such good people, these internet companies, aren't they, guys? You know, the ones that remove from the trenches, from searches, the ones that put software, the new software to where you can type from the trenches worldreport.com, www, from the trenches worldreport.com, and nothing there. Huh. Yeah, they look out for us. They're us. They're just like Donald Trump. They're us. Companies took on the entertainment industry in a fight over online privacy because, man, they're concerned about privacy. You know, these people that work at the CIA. Although they're the CIA. The CIA is concerned about privacy, guys. Did you know that? Thousands of websites, including Wikipedia, one of the internet's most well-trafficked communist sites, temporarily went dark to protest legislation that would have given the government power to blacklist sites from the internet. And they don't have that power now, do they? I mean, I don't know. I think they're kind of working on it. I think they call it, we're going to label you false news. We'll label you false news, and we can't blacklist you, but we can put filters all through the system to make sure that nobody can get to your site. That even if you had the main story coming right from you as the source, it's not going to get out there because, man, we've labeled it fake news. And we got CNN, you know, checking to see what is fake news. And who is CNN going to say is fake news? Anybody that tells the truth, because CNN is a pack of liars. Just like Fox, just like NBC, ABC, CBS, aren't they? Remember the polls, people. Never forget the polls. I mean, that so blasted them. Man, they had been so used to manipulating everything. They weren't ready for the good old boy, dirty church, Masonic cabal now, were they? They didn't know that there were people just as low down and dirty as they ever thought about being. Hell, they're the ones that invited them in because they thought they were, you know, a better source of control, a better way to take and control the lands that belong to our people. Blacklist sites from the internet, indeed. Companies collect millions of signatures and ask users to protest to lawmakers. The bills, which aimed to curb illegal downloads and sales of movies and songs, as well as other products, were dropped. Yeah, of course they were dropped. But, you know, the bills that which would aim to curb, see, they'll come out and say, there's people out there, they're getting music and stuff off the internet, and they're selling it for cash money, and that's really what it's all about. And they'll, it's just like when we talk about them going into the inner city and going into an apartment full of little children living in their own feces. And then making laws to protect the little children and coming out into the suburbs and taking your children away from you because you refused to vaccinate him, handing them over to pedophiles. You know, two men and we've got a little 6-month-old baby we're raising. You sick son of a bitches. Same tactic though. Same exact tactic. It's called bait and switch. They come out and you know, it's to stop the downloads and sales of movies. But what they'll do is just like we were talking yesterday, they will claim a patent on reality as it's unfolding, on our history as it is being written. They will control the narrative so that the truth will never be written. What do you write it from? If you say a rock just dropped on the ground, you got to start somewhere, right? The rock dropped on the ground, and this person says that the rock dropped on the ground because there's somebody up on the roof dropping rocks off. The other one said it was thrown over the fence, and the debate goes from there. But what if you can't say a rock dropped on the ground? Because I saw the rock and I said it first, and that statement belongs. And this is how they would have it. And you people, I know you know it. They would have it right down. To if they uttered a word and had it recorded on their iPhone, you can't say that word no more. I mean, they've already told us, you know, they've acted like they could take control of our language. You know, the forbidden words and things you just can't say under political correctness. But this is taking it to the next step. This is, if you talk about controlling the narrative, if you can patent the narrative as it's unfolding, boy, I guess that the propaganda ministry, the ministry of truth, it would be in full operation, wouldn't it? And there would be no dissent. There couldn't be. You start to write something about the rock falling, man. Here comes the internet SWAT team through the goddamn door. Kills your ass. It wouldn't take a, I mean, terror. In 2014, smaller companies held an internet slowdown event to remind users of the net neutrality fight. Sites such as Reddit, Etsa, and WordPress displayed a site loading icon intended to signify the slowdowns users could theoretically expect without net neutrality. John Oliver also dedicated, and you know, on the robber barons end of this, this is them just taking over. It's a resource, man. You think it's the ultimate resource the internet is. It is so powerful. That's why when they handed control of the internet over the Chinese, weren't they? I mean, you talk about a military asset. I mean, an asset for defense or offense that belonged to our people that we created. Well, we're going to just hand that over to the Chinese because we're good, all good international good buddies. Trump has rescinded that, right? He's brought the internet back. He realizes, surely, if anybody realizes the power of the internet, Donald Trump does, doesn't he? He wouldn't want to hand that over to those evil, vile Chinese. Oh, well, they're not evil and vile anymore. That's right. That was before the election. Now they're those wonderful Chinese that, well, we could talk about North Korea. Now, they're heading over. I mean, the shit, I was looking at it today, man. I'm just going to jump off subject here. But I was looking at it today that, Carl Vision, I can't remember, Carl Vinson, the aircraft carrier. You know that son of a bitch is 35 years old? I think they're taking that old tub, that old rust bucket over there just to be shot up and sunk so they can start a conflict. So then the Chinese, who are our friends, well then, South Korea has lived in death fear of the communist Chinese. Again, North Korea right there, I mean, it's half the country. And then China right there beyond it. The evil spread of communism. And you watch what happens. We'll fire back and forth. And then because we were only protecting our country across the sea. Then North Korea will be handed over to China. And because we're building those zones, I mean, Alex Jones, for the charlatan he is, the videos they put out quite a few years back showed the different regions, the Asian region, the North American region, the South American region, the European region, all part of what was that? Oh, yeah, the One World Order, the One World Government. And they have, I mean, if they're going to succeed in doing this, I mean, if those lines are going to be drawn and the map's going to be colored like that, they got to make a move. And they're running out of time. And so they are making a move. And then once China's in North Korea, South Korea, I mean, because we're just, this is a one world order. And China, I mean, the con, it's something to go back and forth. All of a sudden, China has all of it. That Asian region has been put together and it is under China, just like, well, just like their secret documents that they've been compiling, their secret plan called for. I mean, you'll be able to look, I mean, it's like when we looked at the map of the United States with the elections that came off the goddamn Simpsons, and you saw, goddamn, where the dog, you know, got, I don't hit with a dart or what might have you, and it shot this, blood all over the goddamn map in the very exact, I mean, they gotta be laughing at us, exact areas where the so-called election was turned, and it all turned red, and Trump's your new president, and gosh, we never expected it all, guys, really, we didn't. We didn't have nothing to do with it. I can't believe you guys went and got your own billionaire candidate and, well, put him in office. And once you got him in office, he loves us. He loves us, too. He put Mnuchin in there. Goldman Sachs. He put Wilbur Ross. Rothschilds. He put, I mean, it sounds like he just loves everybody, especially the corporate elite. Man, we talked, I mean, back in the other election, the 20, it would have been, 2014 or, yeah, 20, I'm not sure, with the one with Mitt Romney. I mean, the thought, you're sitting there going, they can't believe that the goddamn head CEO of Bain Capital is going to be elected president after what these son of a bitches just did to us. And, I mean, you're sitting there going, what? No. Then you turn around and look, I look today, I seen a guy named Steve Mnuchin. He was introducing the new wealth shift to put billions and trillions of more dollars into the hand of his international buddies who are the ones who perpetrated the fraud back in 2008. The derivatives bubble, you remember that? That was Goldman Sachs. He was CEO. He should have been in prison. He should have been hung for what he did, the damage he caused. But no. And you people who, when you seen Mitt Romney, you good Republicans, you smart voters out there. You put Steve Mnuchin in the White House. I guess that's better than Mitt Romney, you think? I don't know. Anyways, guys, we've made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, just keep your eyes on the ones on the left and the right that are coming right up the middle, because they're coming for you and everything you got, and that is The Word from the Trenches.